Coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel, it's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
That's right, and Mr. Announcer, this is Faye.
Hello, Faye, this is Brenda.
And you're listening to Drive Time to NOPA. Well, Brenda, where are we today?
We are in the spy car driving along the many Canadian highways and byways, and we're heading towards the world's best pancakes.
Yes, for those local Vancouverites, we're going to the Slocan Cafe. Some of the best breakfast in the world. The problem is the place is loaded with cops.
Oh, well. And you seem to not have your seatbelt on. Very good. All right.
So, Brenda, what has been happening? What's exciting in your world or our world?
I have come up here for the third weekend. Is this the second or third?
It's the third. Second.
No, I came up on a Sunday. Then I came up last weekend and stayed overnight. So this is the third time.
So yes, we've been, Brenda has once again come to help out and help us get the pool installed, and we've made a lot more progress this weekend than we did last weekend, right?
Right, because we have figured out a new obsession that Faye has, sweeping sand around.
Yeah, I apparently my perfectionism problem is exacerbated by holding a rake or a broom and standing on sand.
That's right. Yes, I told him there was drugs for that.
So anyway, we've been working very hard, and we have the pool has been erected, and actually we're taking a break and we're going for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But we're not here to talk about the pool. We're here to talk about Brenda Boo and your feelings.
You have some feelings too, you know, right?
So where should we start, Brenda? What are we going to talk about first?
Okay, so I have a list of things here that are always on my mind, and sometimes they pop up and are stronger. So this is just the strongest incarnation of these feelings that I've been having lately.
Okay.
So I was telling Faye that I am getting to the point in my life that I feel like saying things that my parents used to say.
Yeah, agreed. I'm having the same issues.
Like, what do you feel like saying?
I feel like saying, "You kids, get off my lawn." I feel like people are very angry these days, and they're selfish. And they're only out for their own needs. And I feel like saying, sometimes I have to say, "In my day, we had more respect for each other." And I feel like I'm being bullied by everybody around me. Because I'm just trying, you know, I know everyone's very busy in the world. And we all feel like everyone is in my way and preventing me from getting my things done, my goals achieved. I recognize there's that general aura in the world, but I am just trying to go about my day, not impact anybody or impact the world as the least amount as possible, but still accomplish my own goals. And I feel like even I'm just driving along, people are tailgating me, and you know, you go to make a very legal turn off of a main road onto a side street, and I'm sorry, but I like to slow down for the corners sometimes. And people are, "Why are you taking so fucking long? Get off the road!"
They holler that at you?
Well, no, but
do they honk?
Their honk says.
Oh.
Like, I'm not allowed to turn my blinker on and slow down for a corner. I'm turning into a driveway. Honk! So I just feel like I'm feeling bullied and rushed, and I feel like my feelings aren't being accommodated.
I feel I feel bullied behind the wheel sometimes, especially if I don't know quite where I'm going. Before I was working and I was driving around to the beach a lot, I was up by Blaine, and I hadn't done this little maneuver enough times for it to click in my brain where I needed to go. And I was at the stoplight, and I was hesitating because I'm like, do I need to turn left or do I need to turn right? And it was probably 5 seconds that I was doing this, and the guy behind me honks. He's like, move it! Mm-hmm. Or go, or something. And I felt that way, too. I felt bullied. I'm like, why is my presence
such an imposition?
Yeah. But I know what you mean. Like, I'll be at work cleaning, and it's, I'll put a cross of my broom and my mop across the door.
As a block?
As a block. Yeah, there's no confusion. I'm in here, and I'll be in the boys' bathroom, and then they walk across it and just get in the shower.
Hmm.
And it makes me feel very disrespected. And then, but now I'm just like, well, fuck it. If you want to be naked behind just that curtain and it doesn't bother you,
mm-hmm.
fine, I don't give a shit. But yeah, we're talking about being old. I just feel lately like I've learned enough already. Like all the rules have changed so many times in my lifetime. And it just, since, I don't mean to sound like a teacher, but since the Industrial Revolution, life has changed faster than it did for thousands of years before that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It still seems to be under a state of acceleration of change.
Right. It's just like the way we communicate with each other. So many fucking rules. Like I saw on a TV show, they're like, so-and-so texted me. I'm going to call him back. And they said, you're going to call somebody who texted you? Do you want to turn them totally off? There's like all these rules about you can't just call people. Like, I can't just call the driver of this car when I'm on. He doesn't know how much control and restraint I use.
So thank you. And thank you, because I could not tolerate, I can't tolerate people just calling me up out of the blue, because then you're just going to want to talk for like, every time we connect, our conversations are not less than 55 minutes, and I can't just stop in the middle of my day to take 55 minutes out of my day to talk to you about the paper towel rolls.
All right, this isn't. This is not a Badger Brenda session.
I will... Okay, getting back to the topic. I would like to say that I feel like all of a sudden I have crossed a threshold where now I'm grumpy old man now all of a sudden. Or I'm an old man. I feel like my body is starting to make moans and groans and is giving me... Those are very skinny jeans on that very skinny girl, aren't they?
That's an eating disorder right there. Sick.
Anyway, I feel like my body is saying, oh, you know, you can't be doing these things that right. you do all the time so much. I feel like my attitude is all of a sudden, you kids.
You did it when we were in the backyard. Somebody went driving down your alley.
Driving, yeah, right.
You could go a little faster there, buddy. I mean, he couldn't hear you. I'm the only one who could hear you.
Yeah, I know. So, I like, just in the last 6 months or even less, I feel like all of a sudden I'm turning into a grumpy old man, I guess.
I know the feeling with the body. Like, I've been cleaning dirtier bathrooms than normal and just bending over and having to scrub the sides of my... torso or tender. It's like, oh, that was a new muscle group. That's confused. But thing that bothers me, because my body's been crapping up. I've never had a very good connection with my body. It's always betrayed me in constant different ways. Are we here?
We are here.
Oh, we just got wound. Oh, in a parking place. Are you fucking kidding me? So we have to continue this conversation. I don't know if we have enough time on the way home to... Okay, well, now we're going to go eat the most delicious pancakes in the world. Goodbye.
Well, what did you think of our breakfast for starters? And then I have a question for you about the restaurant.
Okay. Oh, it was delicious. Best pancakes I've ever had.
Yeah, I actually felt the pancakes were a little doughy today, but they have been, they've been much better in the past. In any case, now I want to ask you, since our the topic of the minute is about how old and grumpy we're getting.
Yes.
Did you notice anything about the clientele that were in that restaurant?
It was a decidedly older crowd.
It was. And I was kind of feeling like, wait, we kind of fit right in. If we're to adopt this new attitude that we're having, we're experiencing.
So along with this portion of this conversation, one of the things I find irritating are all these new rules about texting, when do people have to respond, shit like that. Like, it just feels like there's all the social mores that I was raised to think are black and white are out the window.
Yes. There's this, the problem with society.
Tell us about it,
in my day, is we have this apparent instantaneous need for response to everything that occurs in our lives. Whether you're responding to someone's Facebook statement, some epiphany they've had, or in the case of, oh, I'm going to tweet, I'm going to text message my friend, and the expectation is, why didn't you immediately respond to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new norm is we've lost the etiquette. There's a certain etiquette that we had in the past, where I would leave you a message, and when you had the time or were ready to spend some effort to think about and respond to my communique, then you would do that. And there's no need for me to be sitting on pins and needles waiting. You'll get back to me when you've considered my comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of it's expectation. So if you establish the kind of relationship you have with the person, like, if you know that I don't need to expect right away, then that's one thing. But I think you have to establish that, right? Otherwise, I think the default is that, yeah, you will respond right away.
Yeah, apparently, which I do not hold.
Clearly. Clearly. But we've talked about that before. But I hate the way the possibility for error is so much higher when you constantly are communicating through writing.
Right, correct.
Because I can inflect and project all kinds of, like, somebody can say thanks, and in my mind I can turn that into thanks, you know?
Right.
So I don't like that. I'm a terrible typist. Jesus Christ.
And that damn autocorrect gets me all the time.
Right.
Too.
And then there's those people that are such pedantic, pissant people. They're like, oh, did you mean this? Or, you know, like, they can't just read around your typos. There's some people that do that a lot.
Even me. I take you to task on that, too.
Not constantly.
No, I often don't respond.
What do you mean?
When I read a tweet and go, what the fuck is she talking about? My first reaction is, Brenda, you know, pears don't grow in trees.
Pears don't? Yeah, they do. I think they actually do.
But I know exactly what you mean, because I would like to be
tweeting back a nasty tweet myself. Look at the cute puppy dog driving this truck.
He's a pugser. That's adorable.
So what you're saying is you detest the written communication? Is that what it is? And you would probably prefer to communicate solely by voice.
Yeah.
I get you.
I hate it.
Okay, so
I only do it because that's what everybody's doing.
Oh, now, so what's your expectation then if we were able to communicate by voice very easily and it wouldn't cost me $1.50 a minute to speak to you? What's your expectation about how much, how long, and how often you and I would verbally speak?
I like to talk, you know, like, even if it's just, like, a little sentence or two, like, I like to do that, like, at least every other day or every day. I like just to kind of, like, hey, I'm alive, are you alive? Okay, that's good. But, like, but as far as, like, conversation, I don't want to go more than a week.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I would think if you could call me more often, my expectation is that you'd be talking to me every 2 or 3 hours.
No.
I'm going to work now. Just wanted to say hi.
Well, that's incorrect.
It's raining here. I'm wearing my pink shirt today.
Well, you're confused. That wouldn't be the case. If I had my druthers, I'd say I would like to talk at least twice a week.
Oh. Well, that's not unreasonable. I would think that if we had more free communication, it would be a daily thing. Every day, you'd be
home from work. You know what happened to me today? I was cleaning up some puke.
It was gross, and I hated it. Okay, so I'm afraid my ego can't take it. But how often would you talk to me? How often do you want to talk to me?
My fear is that if I allowed you to call me all the time, that it would be 2 or 3 times a day.
No, it never would be.
No, you say that now.
Okay, you still didn't answer the question.
I could do it every 2 or 3 days. That would be acceptable to me.
There's a stupid bicyclist. All right. Another thing that I find that I've changed my attitude about is that when I was a kid, I know, I'm just trying to get back on topic because there's several topics I want to cover. When I was a kid, my mom and my grandma, who lived right across the street for my whole life living there.
You don't like your grandma, apparently.
No, she's not. She's gone. She wasn't the most cuddly person I've ever met in my life. She was not like she never once said she loved me, or I don't even know if I ever got a couple hugs out of her my whole life. So, and she would like to sit in her chair and peek out the window at noises and stuff.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. She made it hard to like her, because, well, one thing, I wasn't a boy.
Oh.
She was definitely that old school that, when she did throw the N-word around.
Oh, yeah.
She was your old-fashioned racist. Anyway,
sure.
They always had a garden in my grandma's yard. It's a good-sized garden, and it petered off as I got older, but as a kid, they were constantly, you know, canning beets and pulling beans and all that shit. And I hated it. I resented it so much because this was the 70s, and it was like, that's not cool, man. You just go to the store and you just buy it. Why do we, you know, like, shit like that. Well, as I get older, I realize that there's a value in having these kind of skills. And how, you know, different times, like when electricity goes off or whatever, or there's a natural disaster, I've had to stop and think, how well would I take care of myself if I only had myself and my basic skills of
right.
getting food and stuff. And I'm a little scared about my ability to do that. But, I mean, I wouldn't be totally worthless. I can remember doing certain things. And I think if I had to, I could teach myself. Or, but I think the world is, like, pretty dysfunctional, man. They can't fucking do anything.
We are getting more dependent on mass production and stuff like that, and packaged goods, and the ability to order on Amazon and have a, you know, dog food arrive on your front doorstep.
Yeah, that's... Unless you don't have a car.
Right.
I think that's a little crazy, but whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a high value in knowing how to can beets.
You've done it. Well, you're a very hands-on person. You're one of the few people I've met as an adult that has got a lot of skills. And, I mean, you don't just farm out everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you can do it yourself, you do it yourself. So that's, I think that's a good thing. But anything that people have to do that requires physical effort, like my job.
Uh-huh.
It's so devalued because there's no technical training to it. So even though cleaning and garbage picking up and putting food on the shelves is absolutely essential,
right?
There is no value to it whatsoever. But if somebody can fucking make a goddamn app that you can put on your iPhone that will count how many goddamn fucking steps you take every day, this is worth something?
I see.
Well, I just tracked how many times I belched for the last 24 hours. I've got this new belching app. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Fuck off. You don't need to count everything. I hate Fitbits. I'm going on record again to say how much I hate Fitbits.
Hear, hear. Okay, I agree. I think we're becoming over technologized.
A new word you just made up there.
It is, isn't it?
Why are you looking at that boy?
Because he's wearing shorts and a blue Adidas t-shirt. I really like the blue Adidas t-shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sure. This is we live in an extremely technological age, and we have high populations gathered in very dense areas, and I think you're just... You know what, Brenda? You're just going to have to say, in my day, this wouldn't fly. This is not the way we grew up.
Yeah. It does seem like the jobs that nobody wants to do but are necessary are the ones that get paid the least. I've been fed this bill of goods my whole life that I'm responsible for all you guys. That's why I get paid the big bucks, right?
Uh-huh, right.
You don't want my job. You don't want all this responsibility. And then things like Enron happened, and all the people responsible got paid up the wazoo, and all the people in the company got fucked.
Correct.
I think that was really when kind of my eyes opened up to this little bullshit about being responsible. What a bunch of nonsense that is.
So really, what you're really against is the cultural norm, this business-based economic situation that North America operates under.
Well, I'm tired of people feeling... I feel like I get a virtual pat on the head. Like when people say, oh, you're meeting somebody. Hey, Faye, what do you do for a living? I'm a dispatcher at a fire station. Wow, that's great. That's a lot of responsibility.
That must be really exciting.
Yeah. Brenda, what do you do? Oh, I'm a custodian at a school. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, those are essential. I don't know what I'd do without my housekeeper. That, you know, it's just like this, oh, you must be retarded. It's just the best you could do. Actually, I just want to say that, yeah, there's some dumb people out there cleaning. But there's also some people that are misguided fools that went to college that didn't figure their shit out, and that's what they're doing. They're above average intelligence in some ways, not always. Not
right.
Mathematically speaking.
Sure.
Well, you're hanging around a dummy then. The next topic is... Why is everything a virtual experience? Nothing is like hands-on. It's just like, if I sit here and watch it, is that truly experiencing it? I went to the Redwoods today. I watched a video about the Redwoods. I mean...
Well, I'm concerned that... Okay, so you're saying we live too much of our lives by observing things rather than getting out into the real world and doing them?
Partially, and then the virtual... Like, all these games. All the video games that even though you can connect with people all over the world, it's shit that, like, oh, I bought a new dress today. Oh, you did? What is it? Oh, no, it's for my avatar that I have on SimCity. Like, you paid real money for something that you'll never get to touch. Never have possession of. And if that game disappears, so does that money. You paid for an idea. Right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I find this... I am really on a tear this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that's ridiculous?
Well, certainly it's, some people like to do different things. I think what I'm more concerned about is maybe you're traveling in the wrong circle of people. If you're reacting to this, this experience of, I just watched the Bono concert in Britain. It was great. Or I paid $75 at the bar to watch two guys beat each other up. The fight was over in 6 minutes.
Well, no, that's not what I'm thinking of, because you actually are in the physical presence of something. I'm not talking about performances. I'm talking about, like, I called some obese woman on the phone who has a sexy sounding voice, and then she told me I was a piece of shit, and I really got off on it, and that was a great sexual experience. It's not real, that's virtual. It's all in, there's so much, we play in our minds so much. That's what I'm getting at. And I don't mean go out and join a baseball team or a softball league. I don't mean that. I just mean, why is there so much value on things you can't...
Because doing the real thing is so much more difficult. It's really hard to find a young, skinny, hot-looking chick to come that you can meet with so that she can beat you with a whip.
But then you should reevaluate your goals in
why?
Life.
Why? No, we can't discount people's wants. If somebody wants a woman to pinch their toes with vice grips...
Is that what you would like, Faye?
They should be allowed to acquire that, as long as it's not against the law or hurting any people or children.
But, okay, I don't want to go down this road with you, but I'm saying... No. I'm just talking about... maybe put that effort into communicating with other humans, and maybe you can find some dumb shit idiot to do it in person.
No, you're wrong. It's not that easy, because if you've ever gone to one of these meetup groups, you know, like maybe you have an interest in playing a game online, or maybe you like to go bicycling in the woods.
Right.
I want to do this with more people. I want to find people who are interested in the same things as me. So you go and you do that, and it ends up being a not very rewarding experience, because the people that you're actually doing this physical thing in the real physical world with are all weirdos, and they all have their own goofy ideas and desires and fucked up mind fuck.
Sound like you're talking from experience.
it becomes an unrewarding experience.
Right.
So,
excuse me.
Because I think it's very difficult to do these kind of physical things, especially in this world where everything costs so much money. To do even some of the simplest things. Well, why don't you just go walk in the park?
Well, okay.
That's not what I'm... walk in the park by myself.
No. No. So, don't go walk in the park by yourself. I think we're kind of not talking about the same thing. What I'm getting at, since we went down this road, is if you interact with another person, they have free will. And then if you want to find somebody that is as kinky as you are, it's going to take some effort. And paying for it is not a real experience. You're fooling yourself. Find some other crazy person who likes to lick your toes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's that goddamn important to you, I mean, life isn't about just getting what you want. It's full of compromise and disappointment and bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, absolutely. You should work hard to find the woman with the licking toes. But I still say it's way easier to get a less realistic version of that. A more virtual. It's way easier to, like, look at the way that the porn industry has just exploded.
Gross.
Because it's way easier to go online and watch a video and get your jiggy jinks off than it is to actually go find a young blonde twink wearing culottes.
Culottes, you say?
And invite him back to your house and to do your thing. Because that's a very difficult thing to accomplish.
Well,
If you build it, they will come. If you have a virtual experience that's out there for people to access, they will come because it's way easier.
So, let's get off the sex stuff, okay?
Okay.
So, what I'm getting at is, like, I met you through the virtual realm of podcasting and over Skype.
Correct.
And same way with the guys from Lotzel. I realized that the virtual experience only goes so far.
Yes.
And then it becomes hollow and flat.
Right.
It's not fun. And at some point it has to stop or it has to go further. And then you pick up all your shit and you move 1,800 miles away. Mm-hmm. And then you're put on call restriction. Anyway, that's what I'm getting at. It's like the few bit of virtual experiences I've had, the novelty of it, yeah, it's cute, it's fun at first, but then eventually it wears out, and it's never as satisfying as a real experience. It'll keep you from, you know, it'll feel good at the time. It's much like having an orgasm. It felt good at the time. Once it was over, it was like, whatever. Is it worth going through that again? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Just the novelty of it.
Well, you know, honestly, I can't disagree with you. I agree completely. But I will say there is a place for the virtual experience. And the reason it's so prevalent is because it's much easier than doing the real life, physical, real world thing.
Well, I don't get as much satisfaction out of it. Should we continue in your backyard? Because there's still stuff I want to talk about.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And we'll come back and talk about several other topics after a short interlude.
You're going to say something about my vagina. I'm curious what that's all about.
We're going to talk about Brenda's vagina.
So before we go past this argument about the value of a virtual experience, I want to concede to say that, yes, there is value to it, but sometimes it is just like putting a Band-Aid over a bleeding wound. You're just kind of curtailing it. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this for now, but this is really not a fix. And if it wasn't for the virtual experience, I wouldn't have met you and everybody else, so there is value to it. I just don't think you should substitute it for everything.
Yeah, true enough. because there's also a high value in the real world experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy to get caught up in the virtual experience and think that it's the be all end all for whatever it is, whatever kink you're looking for.
Or friendships.
Yeah.
So you touched on people using the virtual experience to for finding that ideal person to satisfy their sexual needs, whether that's a man or a woman. And I wanted to say something about this feeling that I've had now that I'm single again, about having to re-look at my person, as in my physical presence, and how much value I want to put on making myself pretty again. And this idea that it's like, it's part of what I would call entitlement, that I feel as a straight woman that men have this idea that women are put on this earth to make themselves as pretty as possible for them. They can walk around and look as frumpy and dumpy and all they want and stink and fart. And but, you know, like, you know, in my own personal life, I've had, like, if I did something that wasn't very
dainty,
oh, that's sexy. I wasn't trying to be sexy. I'm just, you know, I process food and eat and slobber and drool just as like you do. But it's okay for men, and it's okay for men to express that to perfect strangers. I've experienced that myself. I can't support this any longer.
I see. Well, we're talking once again about the general etiquette of the world, then, are we not?
Yeah. And because
if when you and I were growing up, in my day, it was extremely frowned upon for us to be vulgar or to burp and fart and to not be a perfect, in my case, a perfect gentleman in the presence of other people. And that's how I was raised. But not everybody had the benefit of maybe caring parents or whatever the situation is. The world now is much more uncouth.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say, yeah, that part's true. But it's always been that way for men and women if they were straight. They've always felt free to let girls that they thought were ugly know. And it's in subtle communication, too, because when I was younger, I don't feel it as much as now, because now I'm old enough that, for the most part, if I'm in a social situation or if I'm at work and I'm talking to somebody that would clearly be out of my league, I'm old enough where they don't think, like, is this woman hitting on me?
Right.
So, but I remember when I was younger, just me trying to be polite or just be a human to another human. I don't go around the world looking like trying to find somebody to hump. I've never done that. I've never, ever done that. And to have somebody just shut you down. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and it's ego bruising. It's just like, Jesus, I wasn't hitting on you. You know? So that's always been there. It's still there.
And I have to agree, because I think straight men are very misogynistic. I work with a bunch of them, and it's as though their entire focus and goal in life is to either acquire or judge the beauty of women, despite the fact that they might already be married. And even the married ones don't seem to talk about their wives in very positive light. I find it very disappointing.
It's disheartening, right? It's like, and then you look at them and you're like, well, what's so special about the way you're behaving? There's just this whole different set of standards. And women do it to we do it to ourselves, to each other. If I can remember saying stuff about you know, like, I dieted and I've yo-yoed so much, I'm just tired of it. And then somebody, a woman, would say, well, I just want to look good for my husband because I don't want him to look around. Newsflash, he's still doing it.
Right.
We've learned that the most beautiful women in the world still get cheated on.
Sure.
So, and I'm saying be unhealthy and do what you want to do, but you being ever vigilant is not going to stop them if that's what they want. So I get frustrated by that, about always being valued about what, and us and me believing that so wholeheartedly that I had no value as a person because I didn't
meet a predetermined checklist of attributes.
I was really dreading turning 50, and I just thought, ugh, my life is over. And I was feeling resentful because I felt invisible for some time now. But it's kind of like, also, it's kind of like, fuck it. It's kind of like when you got married. When I got married, it's like, I don't have to think about this anymore. And now it's just like, well, if I do it, if I make changes, then I do, and things happen. But it's kind of freeing, too.
Yeah. Well, so, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a nicer place to be, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give the old line about inner beauty, Brenda. You're a beautiful person inside.
Thank you.
But I still feel that no matter who you are and what you look like, you need to be yourself. People will be drawn to you because of the way that you are, not the way you look.
I spent so many years of my life thinking, and I felt I was indoctrinated to think that no matter what my personality was like, it never was as important as what I looked like or the hole that I could be filled.
All right, well, we have to go because we have to build a pool. We can't sit around and talk about your feelings all the time, Brenda. So I am the Faye Driver. Thanks for listening. You can email us at Faye and Brenda at gmail.com.